Welcome back to another edition of It's Good with Gary. We're doing something new this week. I've got Doug Shockey back on board. He's with us once again. And joining us after he says I've been talking trash about him is Mikey G. Mike, how are you?
Hey, I'm good, man. It's an honor to be back on your podcast after the long long absence.
What are you talking about? I'm talking trash about you. Doug was telling me that you didn't like what I had to say about your Yankees, about the bull.
Well, yeah, I mean, I thought your comments about me not liking the SEC, but, you know, because I'm a Yankee fan, and, you know, that would be equal to me, you know, I guess being unjustified in saying that the Yankees don't do this, aren't like the great team, and how the SEC is the great team, you know, and the conference in college football or whatnot. Saying that I'm fairly.
Is he just blowing smoke right now?
Yeah, he's just getting carried away. He's just getting carried away.
Well, I was just gonna say that, you know, I love the Yankees, and I'm a huge Yankee fan. They'll always be my team, but that doesn't mean that I agree with everything they do and the way they spend their money and all that other stuff.
So. Okay, we'll see.
Notice how he put on his heavy New York accent for the Open.
Yeah, well, that's Mikey G. You know what? That's okay. That's why we love him. Let's get down to business. We can save the Yankee hate talk for another day. Last week was a pretty crazy week in the sports world. Even though there was a lack of games going on, the NHL was coming back. Basketball, we're kind of in the doldrums where it's starting to pick up towards the playoffs. But the Manti Te'o story broke and became big news everywhere. I mean, your girlfriends knew about it, your moms knew about it, your sisters knew about it, everybody knew about it. Let's go to Doug first. What were your thoughts when you first heard about the Te'o story breaking?
Well, my first thought was Oprah feels like an idiot now pushing her interview with Lance to Thursday and Friday, because by then the whole Lance thing was old news. I saw a stat that I think only 3 million people watched the interview with Lance, which I think totally underwhelmed what they expected. But as for the whole Manti thing, I had no idea what to believe. He always just kind of rubbed me in the wrong way, and really for no apparent reason. Every time I saw him in an interview, he just kind of seemed like he wasn't all there, you know what I mean? And so for me, it's like, well, I'm not really sure what's going through his mind. I'm not really sure what he knew or what he didn't know. So this is going to be interesting to see what the media uncovers.
Mike, what did you think upon hearing about the girlfriend was not actually dead?
Well, what I think is anyone tired of hearing about this story yet? that's what I think. I think it's pretty much a, you know, obviously it's a personal issue with him, but, you know, I can understand why people are all, you know, crazy about it in this pop culture nation. You know, everybody wants to, you know, get into these crazy stories and judge other people. But, I mean, I think it would be an interesting story if he was using this as leverage for a Heisman campaign, trying to make people feel bad for him. Or, you know, I mean, I think it's kind of sleazy, but I don't. At the same time, maybe one day of coverage instead of, you know, 10.
You don't think I don't think that he used this for the Heisman per se, but I think a lot of people talked about, well, he should get the vote. It's like a sympathy vote. And I kept saying, that's not how the Heisman works. You don't think that he garnered some votes and some respect and some attention because of that? I think he absolutely did.
Yeah, here's the thing. People have been criticizing him.
Go ahead, Doug.
Go. Well, I was just going to say, people have been criticizing him for answering questions at the Heisman ceremony about his girlfriend. But imagine you've been, quote-unquote, dating this girl for the last year or however long it was, and you just found out that who you thought was dead is alive a day or two later. You know, it's going to be tough to still come to grips with that. And so, I mean, honestly, I think if I was in that position, I would probably do the same thing. And there I go saying honestly again.
Yeah, I've got the over-under on how many times Doug says honestly at 8.5. Mike, when I looked at this story, my biggest issue was Notre Dame's known about this since Christmas. They launched an investigation, and as it turns out, their investigation was limited to an electronic search. They did not look at phone records or text communications. They did no interviews with anybody involved. So what exactly did Notre Dame do, and are they to blame for the perpetuation of the story, and why didn't it come out at the time?
I think just like anything else, just like Manti said, I think they were just hoping that it would go away and that no one in the media, like, for instance, Deadspin.com, would break the story and you know, blow it out of proportion like that. I think that they were trying to, you know, they didn't think that it was going to come out, and they were trying to save face. So they kept quiet, and they assumed, you know, Manti Te'o wasn't going to say anything about it, and kind of backfired on them. Now, you know, they're kind of treading water on the whole thing.
I've heard
they were trying to not get blown out in the national championship game at that point. There was still a national championship game preparations. They didn't want something like that breaking and drawing the attention away from their preparations and moving it into something that might look like a bad light for their football program. They were hoping that if the story broke, it would be after the championship game.
Okay.
And make people forget that they got crushed.
It's been reported, and I don't know this for a fact, but it's been reported that ESPN had this story about 4 days before the game. If they did, do they have a responsibility to break this story, or should they have saved it and not drawn unnecessary attention to their broadcast? Each of you, and
Gary.
Let me
jump on this one, Gary. Let me jump on this. Yeah, I heard that story as well, that they had this 4 or 5 days before the national championship game. But ESPN, as we know, and as I will quote my favorite New York Post sports writer, Phil Mushnick, all right, they're the excessive self-promotion network. And even if they knew about this, they weren't going to break it because that would just take attention away from, you know, the actual game itself, and it would have just been a circus.
Don't they have a responsibility as the worldwide leader?
They absolutely have a responsibility to break it, but that doesn't mean that they actually would do it. You know, I don't actually trust the, you know, integrity of ESPN, is my point.
No, they've blurred the lines between sports reporting and self-promotion, and I don't know, it's turned kind of sad. It's not the way it used to be with the big show, DP.
To me, what this shows is that what's happened in the political media, where they wait to break a story until just before an election or something like that to boost their ratings, has spilled over into the sports world. It used to be the second something happened in the sports world, they would report about it. But the sports reporters, not just ESPN, but Yahoo Sports and the like, have found that if they hold on to a story until a good time or a slow news time or something, they can break it, and it looks good for them. So, I think it's this trend that's just kind of rolled into media as a whole.
If you want a story to just die, you wait and you report it Friday afternoon. I don't know why Notre Dame didn't just release a statement that they were investigating what exactly happened on a Friday afternoon. Because that, if you watch the NFL, whenever they have something that's not going to be good for them, that's always when they announce something.
Yeah.
5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. They should have just nipped this
in
the bud.
There are a lot of politicians in Washington that announce a lot of things at 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon when they don't think anybody's going to notice. And, you know, concerning ESPN in this situation, again, I mean, I think also they were the biggest promoters of Manti Te'o and this whole story about his girlfriend dying and his grandmother dying within, you know, 6 hours of each other and all this stuff. I think they were the biggest, you know, proponents of this whole story. And if they were to break a news story saying it was all a hoax, I mean, they would be the first ones to look bad because they were fooled more than anyone else, you know?
Well, I don't know we got to move on to another topic, but how difficult is it to just look into? Here's the thing that I wanted to know. I did not know she was a Stanford volleyball player, supposedly, but if I had known that, I would have looked it up just to see. I would look for her stats to see how good is she. Is she, you know what I mean? Like, I would have wanted to know, like, is this, like, too superior? Like, I would have wanted to know what position she played.
Yeah, is it going to be a power couple? Were they going to be a power couple?
Well, it's basically like Todd Marinovich, like his folks back in the day. That was a couple that's put together to create the perfect kid. I don't know. That's what I was curious about. But moving along, we talked a little bit right at the beginning about Lance Armstrong, and you talked about how Oprah, maybe she shouldn't have put off the interview, waited to try and gain more attention because of what happened. But after hearing what Lance had to say, did your opinion change any, Doug?
My opinion had changed already of him we talked about this in the last podcast. I said I forgive people probably a lot easier than I probably should. And I recorded both of the episodes because I was out of the country when they were aired, and I went back and watched them when I got home. And a lot of people criticized him for kind of having a body language that didn't really show that he was sorry, and it was more just words coming out. I wasn't really sure, but then I read something in the Wall Street Journal by Floyd Landis and Hamilton, his two former teammates, and they said that when they first came out and admitted it, they had the exact same body language as him, because it was almost as if they didn't believe that they were actually doing it at the time. And they said that it resembles their admission a lot, and they said he is truly sorry. It's just his body language, he's not totally accepting of the fact yet that everyone knows.
Mike, do you think that this admission is better for Livestrong in the long run? Will Livestrong survive?
Well, can you explain that question again? You're saying that
do you think
Strong survive? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, will Livestrong continue to grow and be as profitable? Will this admission end up hurting them in the long run? What do you see the impact of this admission on Livestrong and in their cause?
Yeah, I don't know. I think the American people, they're not very kind to people who lie to them. Like, for instance, you know, other steroid users when it comes to, you know, baseball and football and things of that sort, and that are not remorseful. For instance, you got guys like Jason Giambi and Andy Pettit. You know, they were remorseful, they were apologetic, and they kind of, you know, they came back and they wanted to be forgiven, and that doesn't seem that way for Lance Armstrong. And because of that, I think that will affect Livestrong. I think that people won't let Lance live it down unless he apologizes. And I think what he was talking about with Oakland was more of a confession and not an apology, and it was not remorseful.
We're here. When I listened to it or heard clips from it, the thing that hit me was, like, he was talking about his son who was defending him, and he had to tell his son, you know what, don't defend me anymore. I can't imagine. That just seems, I don't know how you do that, but you know what, at least he did right and told, yes, he did wrong for so long, but he did the right thing eventually and told his kids, look, you can't, this is how it's supposed to be. So I will say that he did the right thing in that respect.
Yeah, he did, but now what does Livestrong stand for to people? You know, I mean,
well, it's still,
it was all about
it's still
him coming back
cause.
From cancer, and it was very, you know, triumphant return from testicular cancer. And now, I mean, it wasn't natural. Everyone knows that he was using drugs to cheat and to enhance his performance to get himself back quicker. So it's all kind of a hoax, let's say.
Yeah, just like the Tao girlfriend. Livestrong is still a great cause, though, and it still puts money right back into research and education. There's very little administrative cost to it. So I think Livestrong's still a worthwhile charity, and I think they should continue to see success. I just don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it will.
I agree with you. I agree with you in that respect. I just don't think that they're going to be getting the types of donations and attention that they did in the past.
Let's move to a couple of the football things before we get into the Super Bowl, and we'll just try and get through these fairly quickly. Sean Payton's been reinstated by the NFL. I find it ironic that Roger Goodell reinstated Sean Payton 2 weeks before the Super Bowl, just as the commissioner was headed down to New Orleans for the big game. Thoughts, anybody? Anybody else find that a little bit ironic?
Well, I found it interesting that the media reported, several media outlets talked about how there was no time frame for Payton's return. They weren't sure if it was going to happen before the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it was supposed to be after the Super Bowl, and now it's like, oh, this is a PR move.
There was no report that he was meeting with Goodell, and then all of a sudden, bam, out of nowhere, all of a sudden the ticker tape starts rolling and says Sean Payton reinstated by the NFL. It's like, wait a minute, I didn't even know he was meeting with the NFL. Oh. So I feel like on the NFL's side of things, this was just kind of a spontaneous, hey, let's get this done so that way the Sean Payton thing isn't hanging over our heads and everyone's asking about it at the Super Bowl.
Well, the commissioner would have got booed at the Super Bowl, and he still might get booed at the Super Bowl, but I felt like this was him trying to be like, you know, take it easy on me. Does that sound about what the commissioner's like to you, Mike?
I don't know. I'm very indifferent on this whole topic. I mean, I don't really know what to think about it. I mean, I don't really think there was any specific placement in the whole thing about him reinstating him like 2 weeks before the Super Bowl and it being in New Orleans. I mean, I guess what, he can show face. I mean, but I don't know. It's not like New Orleans is actually playing in the Super Bowl, so. I don't think it's that much of an issue.
Okay, well, let's move to something that is closer to home for you, into the NFC East. So the Eagles hired Chip Kelly, and we're going to save the Chip Kelly discussion for another day. But the Cowboys hired Monty Methuselah Kiffin, to be their defensive coordinator. Why? How is that a good idea? He couldn't stop him at USC when Kelly was at Oregon. Is he going to be able to stop him in the NFL? I can't see that playing out well.
Well, I'm going to start by saying I thought that letting Rob Ryan go in the first place was a mistake. And what Rob Ryan said was, hey, I inherited a defense that was, what, 32nd in the league, and what did I do? I brought them up to 16th or something like that. Yeah. You know, he had a lot of key injuries this last season. I'm always a proponent of give a coach 2-3 years to see what they can do. None of this one-and-done garbage.
What do you think, Mike? It's your division.
About Monty Kiffin and Rob Ryan?
Well, bringing in Monty Kiffin for the Cowboys, Chip Kelly move.
Yeah, I think that they wanted another guy in there that would draw a little bit of attention but be more quiet and not get all that that fizz that Rob Ryan would get with his nice long hair and everything like that. I think it was possibly more of a distraction with Rob Ryan in the defense than they possibly would like, specifically when you have a guy like Jerry Jones who likes to draw attention on himself. I think Monty Kiffin's a lot more low profile.
Well,
when it comes to, he runs that 4-3 defensive scheme. I don't know. Maybe they think that, you know, DeMarcus Ware could be better in the long run running Monty Kiffin's scheme over Rob Ryan's.
Yeah.
In that respect, other than that, I'm not really sure, you know, where they come from with Monty Kiffin. But
well, Rob Ryan landed with my Rams. I'm not sure if I like that or not. I feel like he's a distraction more than anything else.
Is he a distraction because he's Rob Ryan or because he's Rex Ryan's brother? That's the question that I raise. Whose tattoo does he have?
That's a good question. Does he have a Tony Romo tattoo on his body?
No, if he's the D coordinator,
I don't know. Those guys are out there. Just one other thing. Jamarcus Russell, he's making a comeback, in case you didn't know. They've released a press statement. He's making a comeback. Did you know in 2008 he was the fourth highest paid player in the NFL, making $16.8 million? Unbelievable.
Yeah.
He's down from 320 pounds to 305 pounds, too.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Ryan Leaf to make his comeback.
He just got sent to jail. He was in a rehab facility, tried to steal scripts and threaten people from the rehab facility that he was there for, and he's doing the rest of his time in prison.
Yeah. Am I reading this correctly, that he's 6'6", 308 pounds right now?
Jamarcus Russell?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if you're talking about Jamarcus Russell or Rob Ryan. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think Jamarcus Russell is about 300 pounds right now.
Yeah,
believe it or not.
That's what I read, that he was down from 320 to 305 or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Him and Jarrett Lorenzen, they're going to make a comeback. Let's move to the Super Bowl, though. Let's just put it right out there. Who you got this week coming up? You got the 49ers or the Ravens? Doug, you're up.
I think it's the Niners. I just think it, as
wait,
a whole...
Wait. What happened to it's Ray's last ride? He's going all the way.
I said he was going all the way to the Super Bowl. I didn't say he was going to win it.
Okay, go ahead.
I just think, as a whole, the Niners have a better team. They've improved on special teams this year from where they were at last year with those fumbles and everything. I just think their offense is better than Joe Flacco and that what I would call semi-weak offense. The defenses, I think, match up pretty well, but as a whole, it's, in my opinion, it's tough to go against the Niners.
What do you got, Mike?
I got the Niners here. I know that's probably the popular choice. Everybody jumped on the Niners bandwagon. I mean, I think that they provide a couple different looks that the an older Ravens defense is not as fast as it used to be. Even though you have Ed Reed, who's really a ball hawk, everyone loves Ray Lewis. You know, I still think they lost a step. And I think when you have a guy like Colin Kaepernick, who is so dynamic, and he's such a dual threat, you know, it's hard to prepare for that, even if you are, you know, one of the most knowledgeable defenses in the league. I think that they're not going to be able they're either not going to be able to stop the run, or they're not going to be able to stop the pass. One or the other, and the opposite is going to hurt them.
Well, I think
I'd like to see our boy Chad Hall get a ring too.
Okay, well then let me interrupt my analysis here. If Chad Hall gets a ring, does he wear the Super Bowl ring or the Academy ring? Which one does he wear?
I'm pretty sure he's going to go with the Super Bowl ring.
What would you do if you had if you won the Super Bowl? Would you wear your Academy ring or your Super Bowl ring?
Get them soldered together.
I think I'd wear one on one hand and one on the other.
Those are good answers. I'm not sure what I'd do. I guess I'd have to go Super Bowl ring. I don't think you can wear that around though. At least you can wear your Academy ring around.
If you wear
your Super Bowl ring around, you probably get held up.
You think? By the way, Demetrius Johnson, UFC fighter, apparently he just, I friended him on Facebook because I'm friends with everybody on Facebook, and he just accepted. So I got the 49ers in this game. Sorry, I took a left turn there. I got the 49ers in this game. I think they're all around the better team, but I don't think the Ravens are as bad as people make them out to be. And I've been saying that they're not that good all along, but Joe Flacco is not as bad as people make him out to be. He's played well. He just doesn't. They need to establish a ground game with Ray Rice before they do other things. I'm going to take the 49ers. I like Kaepernick, but I'm not as sold on Kaepernick as some people say. And I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't be shocked if Kaepernick leaves this game injured and Alex Smith comes in and we see what's left of Alex Smith. Is he messed up the way Mark Sanchez got messed up when they made a switch? I don't know. We'll see. But I wouldn't be shocked to see how that plays out. Here's my thing, though. If I had to pick between Ray Lewis winning a ring and going out on top or Randy Moss winning a ring and going out on top, I think I'm going Randy Moss.
Ray Lewis on
the I agree.
I would love to see Randy Moss get a ring. Because you know what? He might not be the best guy ever. He's had his moments. Straight cash, homie, whatever else you want to talk about. But he's towed the line. He's done what he's supposed to. He's been a good guy in these later years as he's matured. I'd like to see Randy get a ring. We've got our picks, though, for the Super Bowl, but let me ask you some questions. There's a lot of things you can bet on, and when I started learning about sports betting, Mike is the guy who taught me. So, and these are for entertainment purposes.
And Gary is the guy who taught me, so in essence, Mike taught me as well.
It's like a circle. It's like a circle. Let me throw some prop bets at you guys. I'm going to give you the bet, and you tell me which side you got, the over, under, or whatever, okay? Alicia Keys, national anthem, over, under, 2 minutes, 15 seconds.
I'm going with the over on that one. She's super dramatic, and she's already said that it's going to be a national anthem to remember. I think she's going to drag it out.
I'm going over. I think she also changes the melody at times. A lot of artists tend to do that when they're on the national stage.
Okay. I'll take the under. As far as there's bets out there, you can make a bet on if Alicia Keys omits a word or if she adds a word. I'm going to combine and say, will Alicia Keys omit a word or add a word? You get both of them together, yes or no?
Yes. I think she omits a couple and probably adds a couple.
What do you got, Mike?
I'm gonna go with she's gonna add. She's gonna add some words there.
You think she's gonna add some words?
I think she's gonna add some words.
I bet she forgets a line.
You think so?
Yeah. If you hadn't seen the Star Spangled Banner right now, I bet you'd forget a line too.
Well, here's the thing, you know, is she going to forget it or she would omit it, you know, knowingly omit it and disgrace our national anthem?
You can bet on if she's going to get booed. I'll take that she's not going to get booed. Even if she just butchers it, nobody's going to boo the Star Spangled Banner.
I feel like Pop Culture Nation is not going to boo her regardless, because, you know, I'm going to say like 60% of the fans that are watching the game don't even give a crap about football anyway, so...
Perhaps. All right, here's another one. Whose percentage will be higher? Dwight Howard's free throw percentage against the Pistons on the third, or Joe Flacco's completion percentage?
That's a tough one.
I'm taking Flacco because I know Dwight Howard can't shoot free throws, but you never know what you're going to get with either of them. They're both can go either way. I mean, Howard could get fouled twice, make both shots, and you got no chance. What you got?
I'm taking Howard because Flacco's playing against a better D.
Mike?
You there?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Dwight Howard's free throw percentage is 50% right now. I'm going to go with slightly over for Joe Flacco on that one. I'm going to say Joe Flacco will have a higher completion percentage than Dwight Howard's free throws.
There's an over-under for Harbaugh Bowl or Harbowl references, but I did not get the number. I don't think it had opened yet.
Ooh.
But I'm going to put the over-under at Harbaugh Bowl references at, well, let's say, 7.5. From the time, from kickoff until the final whistle blows, over-under 7.5.
I'm going so over.
I'm going under on the Harbaugh Bowl.
I'm not much of an under kind of guy. No. You know, it'll ruin the game for me if I keep rooting for them not say it. So I'm going with the over.
Dude, I can't take it. I haven't watched ESPN much this week because I just can't deal with all the Harbaugh Bowl talk.
You there?
Yeah, we're here. All right, the over-under on how many times they show that Jack Harbaugh.
Gary, you there?
Yeah, Mike, can you hear me? Hello?
Gary, are you there? Yep, I think I had lost you there for a second. Sorry.
You're good.
Check. 1, 2.
I was driving through a tunnel. Sorry.
I hope you're using your hands-free device. We might.
What's that?
Over under on how many times Jack Harbaugh is shown on TV from kickoff until the whistle? Over under, we'll say 2.5 times.
Over.
Oh, absolutely over, absolutely.
There's no over-under listed. It hasn't opened yet. I'm guessing it's going to be about 3. If I put it...
Oh, it's going to be more than 3.
How many times do you think?
It'll be... I think
you
that there will
before,
be a time where they
you said before kickoff?
No, from kickoff until the final whistle, how many times will they show
him? There'll be a time where they show him 3 times in a 30-second span. They're going to show him, they're going to go to a play, they're going to continue talking about him, they're going to show him again, they're going to go to the next play, and they're going to show him once again.
Okay, so what do
you... I've got 7 or 8 times total.
What do you think, Mike?
I would go with 10 times.
I'll take the under on both of those. You want to put a drink on it?
You think
he's
going to wear one of those split jerseys with
you can bet on that if him or his wife will have on either team's paraphernalia. It's like a plus 5,000 or something too. It's a steal of a bet.
I'm going to look into that. I would take it.
Okay, here's a couple more. Beyonce, what color will her top be for the halftime show?
Will she be wearing a top?
That's also a great question. I'm betting she does. I do love Beyonce. Beyonce, she's a first-round draft pick.
She's classy. She's classy.
I've been a big Beyonce fan for a while. I have no idea what color her top's going to be, though. I would have to guess...
Silver.
Silver's a good guess.
Yeah, I think your best bet is going with, like, white or black there.
You can also... Just for note, you can also bet on whether or not her hair will be straight or whether it will be curled or primped. I don't even know what primped means, but I'm guessing it's like kind of curled.
Beats me.
Male problems. The highest tweets per second. You can bet on the over-under on that, and I think it's 150,000 tweets per second at any point during
the game. Would that break the record?
I'm sure.
I have no clue on that one.
Okay, you can bet on who President Obama will take. I think he's got to go Ravens.
It's just outside the Beltway.
I think that he's going to go Ravens as well.
What color will the Gatorade be that's dumped on the head coach that wins?
Orange. It's always orange.
I think it might be red. I bet the 49ers always have red Gatorade.
Always orange.
What do you think, Mike?
I'm with Gary on the red.
Bang biscuit.
What was it in the NFC Championship? Did you guys see it?
I don't know. I wasn't looking for that. You were flying.
Yeah.
Here's a futures bet. Will Randy Moss retire before the first game of the 2014 season?
If they win, he retires this season.
What was your question?
Will Randy Moss, it's a futures bet. Will Randy Moss retire before game one of the 2014 season?
Yes.
I'm tend to agree with you both. Which coach will be shown first? John Harbaugh, Jim Harbaugh, or will they be shown split screen?
For sure, split screen. Or shaking hands with each other.
We'll get to that in a second. What do you got, Mike? Jim, John, or split screen?
Yeah, unlike Robert De Niro and Al Pacino in films together, I'm going to go with the Harbaughs will be first shown together, shaking hands or something.
Good reference.
Okay, this is my favorite one. How long will the post-game handshake or hug be? It's from the second they touch until the second they release, 7.5 seconds over-under between the two Harbaughs.
Under. It's going to be short on-screen. They'll probably meet up for dinner afterwards.
I bet they don't meet for dinner until next week. What do you got, Mike? Over under 7.5?
I'm totally going under. I think that Jim is a little bit more aggressive, as we've seen when he gave a hefty handshake to Jim Schwartz there last year. I think that they don't want the distractions, and it's going to be real quick. Then they're going to break ways. They're going to try to, you know, not be dramatic.
Yeah, I think it's an under two. All we need is another handshake debacle between brothers. Maybe they break out into a fight on the sidelines. Yeah, I've got the under there. Did you guys see any other prop bets that you wanted to bring up? I saw a couple other ones like Blake Griffin. I think it was Blake Griffin's points and rebounds or Colin Kaepernick's pass attempts. I love those ones that are cross sport. That's tough.
I'm going Blake Griffin.
He's got the chance to go 30-20, and I don't know that Kaepernick's going to throw the ball 50 times.
Yeah.
Let's go with Blake Griffin there.
Yeah. Before we move off, I'm just going to make a quick divert here around the Super Bowl. The Pro Bowl is about to be played, and then by the time people listen to this, the Pro Bowl will be over. What are your thoughts on the Pro Bowl? Is there any way to save the Pro Bowl? Can we do a skills challenge like they have in the NBA? Do we just go to a college all-pro format where you just vote and there's no game? Do you even like the Pro Bowl?
People listen to this?
We have a few listeners. All
right. Well, going along the lines of what the Wall Street Journal reported this week, they said that since the NFL moved the game to before the Super Bowl, in I believe it was 2007 or 2008 was the last time that it was after the Super Bowl, there were only 11 people who were voted in who didn't play. This year there are 31. There are 16 people who are on the Super Bowl teams who are not playing this weekend, and then there are, 15 other people who pulled out for various reasons, citing injuries and stuff. I say you move it to after the Super Bowl. You get people to come back and play. There's been a lot of talk about moving it to only a skills competition, maybe like a 7-on-7 flag football.
That's all it is anyway. The defensive line and offensive line just stand up and play patty cake. What do you think, Mike?
It used to be enjoyable to watch because they used to go all out. And people are talking about, I don't want to get injured or whatever. Really, there aren't terrible injuries that happen in the Pro Bowl anyways, and if you get injured a little bit, it might set you back in your off-season conditioning by a couple of months. Look at Adrian Peterson. He tore up in December and is probably going to win the MVP this season with off-season rehab, getting into shape.
If somebody tears out their knee this year in the Pro Bowl, we won't play it again. What do you think, Mike?
I think that, I know I've heard the speculation of if the ratings aren't good enough this year and they don't sell enough tickets that there's going to be no Pro Bowl next year. And I think I'm going to go with that idea. I think it's difficult seeing as, compared to other sports, the Pro Bowl is at the end of the season. And then you have players now, since it's the week before the Super Bowl, you have some of the best players in the league who are playing in the Super Bowl, so they're not going to play in the Pro Bowl. I mean, I've never been a big fan myself. I can't get through, more than 5 minutes of it. So.
Well, it's in Hawaii. How many fans do they expect to make the trip out to Hawaii? I mean,
usually they don't get a lot of fans. They get the money with the TV.
Well, I think that they were on the right track a couple of years ago when they had it in Miami, instead of when they had it stateside in Miami instead of over in Hawaii. Because, I mean, nobody goes out there for the Pro Bowl.
No, especially not if your choice is you can go to Hawaii for the Pro Bowl or you can go to the Super Bowl. Which one are you going to?
Super Bowl.
Me? You're saying as a fan?
Yeah. You've got. Let's say you've got however much money. You can go to the Pro Bowl in Hawaii, or you can go to the Super Bowl, wherever it's located. Which one would you choose?
Oh, I mean, come on. That's a no-brainer, Gary. Come on. Super Bowl, without a doubt. Everyone knows that. I don't think anybody would pick the Pro Bowl in Hawaii over the Super Bowl.
Well, then that's why it's silly to play in Hawaii the week before the Super Bowl.
Well, I just want to throw this out there. Who was the number one draft pick this year? The Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know if you know this, but the Chiefs have more players playing in the Pro Bowl than six other teams, including the Packers and the Falcons.
Is it selected or is it playing?
I believe it was... It's playing, but they also had more people selected than several teams, I know. You know, how does a team go 2-14 and send more people to the Pro Bowl?
Brady Quinn and Matt Cassel?
I guess that's a talk for another day as well.
No, I don't know. What do you think, Mike?
I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, it's a novel idea. Anything that they can do to spice it up might be helpful at this point. I mean, especially since you're hearing rumblings of them not even possibly discontinuing the Pro Bowl after the season. I mean, anything they could do, like I said, to spice it up and make more, you know, get more viewers, I mean, anything would be better.
All right. I've got a couple more questions. We'll go back. We're back on the Super Bowl. But from a strictly non-football perspective, I want a couple answers to these questions. We'll start with Doug, and then we'll go to Mike. What's your go-to snack for the Super Bowl?
Cheese and crackers.
Easily buffalo chicken dip. Absolutely.
Buffalo chicken dip is very good. Pizza dip is actually really good, too.
I was offended by that Taco Bell commercial where it says cheese and crackers are outdated, or if you brought cheese and crackers to the party, not cool, is it?
12 tacos? Cheese? No, thank you.
Slices of cheese. Slices of cheese and wheat thins? Oh, definitely my go-to.
Did you hear about the chicken wing shortage? There's a chicken wing shortage, and they're more expensive than they've ever been. I couldn't help with that.
Make burgers, then. Burgers or sliders. Sliders are the new chicken wings.
I like that queso dip with some hamburger in it. Queso and some Rotel. That's my go-to. Also spinach dip.
That brings back very fond memories, Gary.
How many nights did we spend eating that, having a beer, and playing MLB in your apartment?
Not to mention watching football games or playing MLB. Yeah, many of nights.
Yeah, those were good times. We'll need to do that again soon. All right, next question is, for the Super Bowl, what's your go-to beer or drink of choice?
Beer. If the Packers are playing, Leinenkugel. If not, probably Sam Adams.
Man,
you know, that's a very good question. That's a very good. You know, you're probably going to be eating a lot. I'm going to have to go with a nice, crisp, smooth, refreshing beer that's not too heavy. I'm going to have to go with a Rolling Rock here. I know you might think it's weak, but you also got to think about all the food you're going to be consuming. You know, you don't want to get too full. You need something light. So I'm going to go Rolling Rock.
I like that. Rolling Rock's a good call. My first choice wouldn't be beer. It would be whiskey and ginger ale, which Mike also introduced me to. He's basically the root of all evil, apparently. Taught me how to sports bet. He taught me a lot of things.
Taught you how to drink.
Yeah. Whiskey and ginger ale would be my first choice. But if I'm going with a beer, if it's hockey, I'm going Molson Ice. If it's football, if it's football, I'm going, I don't know. I like Heineken.
That's 2 weeks in a row that you've brought Molson into the conversation.
I know. I did that again. But I have, like, certain things for certain sports, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I've got a couple Heinekens I need to kill still, though. Here's my last one for you, Super Bowl related. Actually, before I get to that, Mike, you should get your dad to make some of that pizza and send it out to us for the Super Bowl.
Well, I know he would. He'd always love to serve you, but my father is very conscious of his product and making sure that it's as fresh as possible. So, I'm gonna have to say that you're gonna have to make a trip out to New York so you can get it straight out of the oven.
What's the name of that place in New York?
My dad's place?
Yeah.
Pauly G's, Gary, come on.
I know he's Pauly G, but I didn't know it's called Pauly G's.
It is called Pauly G's.
Have you been, Doug?
I have not been. I've heard many times about how awesome it is.
I'm sure it's epic.
You are more than welcome to come out, and you can stay at my house, and then we can go up to Pauly G's.
I'm planning on doing that sometime.
You're always welcome out here.
All right, I'll make a trip up there. I've been trying to get some Pauly G's for some time now. I want to try that pizza out, straight from a real Italian pizza. Was it Pizza Oven? Is that what it's called? What commercial are you most looking forward to? Who do you think is going to have the best commercial?
Bud Light usually seems to pull out some good ones.
I'm gonna go with Doritos are gonna have the best commercial as always.
Doritos is
pretty good.
Yeah, Doritos is gonna be my pick. Bud Lights are pretty good. GoDaddy's gonna do the same thing they always do. Who else does good stuff?
I don't know. We tend to get surprises from time to time. Companies that you don't really expect.
That investing baby, whatever, he's gonna have something on there. I'm trying to think. I can't remember any.
Little known fact, I don't know if you guys know this, but there can only be one advertiser per industry in the Super Bowl.
It's only Miller Lite commercials?
There's only one beer, there's only one car, there's only one soda company, pop company, whatever you call it. Just interesting how they basically, I mean, what that does is it drives the revenue up because all these
they can charge more. Yeah,
they clamor over each other saying, hey, we're going to put in more money than company X and have our segment shown.
I did not know that. I think that's all we got, actually. You guys have anything else? One at a time, boy.
Go ahead there, Doug.
Alright, I just want to say, I think I only said the H word on accident twice.
Yeah.
And then I said it twice when I said, oh, there I went saying that word. So, I don't know if that's a two or a four, but either way,
I count it as four, and that's what we learned today about Doug.
I want to show it here before we started. I wrote honestly on my paper, and I highlighted it and circled it and arrowed it.
People who are listening, Doug's showing me on FaceTime where he wrote honestly, but since you can't watch the podcast on iTunes, nobody saw that but me, Doug. What you got, Mike?
Well, I just wanted to say thanks for having me on again, Gary. It's been a long time, but I look forward to being on again here shortly, especially with baseball season coming up.
We're getting ready for it. How about my Braves picking up Justin Upton? So we got
Upton
and Hayward, huh? That's going to be a stud outfield. It's got a potential outfield.
Sounds like there could be some brotherly drama in that outfield, but I guess that's a discussion for another day.
Could there be some
Good luck going against that Washington rotation.
I was trying to do a mock headline of sorts. The brotherly outfield visits the city of brotherly love when we go play the Phillies. Okay, yeah, not that good.
Stretch.
Yeah, it was a stretch. You guys are both flying this week. Where are you going? Anywhere good?
Right now I'm on the schedule for, I think, Spain and Italy.
You flying this week again, Mike? I guess
you
not.
You talking to me, Gary?
you talking to me? You talking to me? Yeah, I was just asking if you were going anywhere this week. I guess Mike's gone.
I think I'm losing you, Gary.
I think we might be too. We'll just call it a day. I was just asking if you were going anywhere good this week. Doug said he was flying overseas.
Oh, no, I just got back from Spain, Kuwait, and North Dakota, and that was good times.
And Dakota. I love how he throws it in there like it's a foreign country. And Dakota.
Well, to,
doesn't specify which Dakota.
To Mikey G, North Dakota is a foreign country. I got a trip over Oklahoma City, down towards Shreveport and back. That should be fun. And then I move down to Tampa next week. I'm out of Oklahoma.
Good.
So I'll be Mike. You need to come down to Florida first for spring training, because I'll be at a lot of games.
It's not a bad idea.
All right, guys. I appreciate you joining us. We'll have to do this again soon. Get some feedback on how the Super Bowl went. Also, we'll look forward to talking to you next week. We'll start looking towards the baseball season, some of the off-season moves in the National Football League and college football. That's all for this one. Deuces.